Jokic, little contact, and he floats it up and in. Jokic, shot clock down to three. The spin, the shot, got it. Turns into Biombo. Seven to shoot. Jokic, got it. Too easy. As Jokic turns, knocks it down. Caldwell Pope, boy, beautiful dish. Jokic. Murray over two, missed it. Jokic. First offensive rebound tonight for the Nuggets. And here comes Jokic, banging into Ayton. Got it. Leaning baby hook shot. Here comes Jokic, turning the corner, going glass. Jokic, offensive rebound. Three-point game. Jokic, he found it. 6 seconds. Backing down Biombo to the box, fades. He sticks it. Crowded by eight and six on the timer. Jokic trying to create the space, spins, off balance, hook. Unbelievable. Jokic, he is pure basketball poetry.
It was pure basketball poetry last night as the Denver Nuggets win again over the Phoenix Suns. Susan and Cheryl love them some Nikola Jokic, and this Nuggets team is up 2-0, 2-0, 2-0, 2-love, whatever you want to say. Denver got the job done. Won't play until Friday, which is, yeah. You know what? Let us enjoy the 2-0 thing here for a little bit. Because, Angel, I don't know about you, man. I'm stressed the hell out. It's a beautiful thing and a very terrifying thing at the same time.
Well, I was thinking about it last night watching this game and the importance of it. Obviously, every game's important in the playoffs. But because you had a three-day break in between before mm-hmm. you go to Phoenix, it was crucial that you got this win.
Yeah.
It was a win that, you know, we'll talk about it throughout the show, but it's a win that you wanted to see a type of game like this where the Nuggets get challenged, get pushed, get, you know, down in the late in the game and come back and win it. That's a championship type of win.
Yeah.
And it's huge for the momentum going into game three.
What was more impressive to you, game one or game two?
Game two.
I think so too.
Game one is impressive because I know that's the peak of the Nuggets.
That's when everything is going according to plan, that's how it should go. Right. Jamal's shining, Joker's doing his thing, you got MPJ coming up with some significant buckets, Aaron Gordon's doing all the work, Brown's playing well, other Brown's playing well. It's all going according to plan. Last night, other than Nikola Jokic, nothing went according to plan. I mean, couldn't score. It was 21-18. So in the first quarter in game one, it was 32-31. This was 21-18. And then not much better in the second, 21-22. Two teams that can score, especially the Denver Nuggets. But Phoenix slowed this thing down. And Denver, I mean, yeah, there was a scary moment in the third. They were down by eight at one point. But they just kept going. The defensive effort was outstanding by this team. Phoenix scored 87 points. So there's a lot to unpack from this game, but this is one of those games where you just, it's the old cliche of great teams find a way, and I think we're seeing the Nuggets evolve into more of a great team. You beat Minnesota 4-1. That's how it was supposed to go. You beat Phoenix 2-0. You beat them now up 2-0 at home. That's how it's supposed to go if you're following along at home, watching the Nuggets and all of them being the number one seed and all of that. So everything is going how it's supposed to go, just not necessarily 100% according to the plan, according to the blueprint. A lot to take away from this one, but let's start with the MVP, and we'll find out today if he's going to be the three-time MVP. Now, everything I am led to believe is all the votes were in before the playoffs started, but you kind of just wonder. If they were all really in, because that would impact. You saw Philadelphia. I got that right, by the way, Angel. I don't know how the hell that happened because Joel Embiid didn't play. But Philadelphia beats Boston in Boston without their MVP. And without Joker, this team is getting blown out 87-64 probably last night. So that's an interesting thing there. But Joker, 39 points, 16 rebounds, 5 assists. He was everything that we've built him up to be the last 2 or 3 years as he started to rise up to MVP status. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. The tight-knit brewing poll question today. And I listen, I don't like putting this question up there, but as soon as I put it out there, people freak out. Although this one, maybe you have a reason to freak out because this is where I am right now with Jamal. Is Jamal Murray just a guy or is he a superstar? You got three options today at thewholeshow.com. He's just a guy, he is a superstar, or he's a semi-superstar. Now, they put the little graphic on the game last night toward the end. They were watching it. It was superstar watch. And it was Kevin Durant's point total. It was Devin Booker's point total. It was Joker's point total. And it was Jamal's. So superstar watch. So, yes, nationally, he is viewed, at least according to that graphic and some of the national coverage, as a superstar. This is exactly what I feared would happen with Jamal, is right after he says, I don't know what I have to do to prove it to everybody that I'm this good. Well, you got to do it consistently. You can't come out and score 17. Well, he came out and scored 10. Now, I stand by this. He impacted the game, especially late. He had 8 assists, and he had a key pass to Joker, a beautiful pass inside, where then Joker took it and dished it out to KCP in the corner for a three-point shot, which was huge. KCP was on fire. Overall, like if Jamal Murray was done today, retired today, I would say that, yeah, he was. Let me just be clear. When you say just a guy in sports, they're clearly some of the best at what they do. To get in the NBA, you're not me or you. You and I, Angel, we're just guys. But in sports, when you say just a guy, it's a, oh, you're pretty good player that made it to the NBA, and you could probably start, you know, for most teams. But that's who you are. You're just a guy. So that's to be clear. And I would say the summary of Jamal Murray throughout his career has been, yeah, he's just a guy that can provide Murray flurries, that can provide flashes.
We talk about players having a floor or having a ceiling. I think Jamal is very interesting because we've seen his ceiling. We've seen how high this dude can go, how electric and how impactful he can be in a game. And I think that success has risen the ceiling, but it's also risen the floor. Because now it's 10 points. We're kind of expecting that. You know, the low for Jamal Murray is 10 points. It's not going to be 7. It's not going to be 3. It's not going to be 0 for 15. So yeah, it's as frustrating as it is that we're getting the ups and downs with Jamal, I kind of bank on the consistency of the up and down. That for every great performance, you're might going to have a subpar performance.
Yeah, well, even
and it's
in
a
the,
matter of when
bubble.
Those performances happen.
People don't, if you don't dissect what happened in the bubble, this is what he did in the bubble. This is who Jamal Murray is. He is at his best, and I stand by this. Give me his best performance of all time, and I'll put it up against Devin Booker's best performance. And again, I don't know. Booker's probably had 60-point games. I don't know.
But thinking back to the bubble, Murray was great, but him plus Donovan Mitchell doing what he was doing at the time, it elevated both of them.
Yeah,
obviously,
sure.
And Murray kind of carried that on through the rest of the series, but Western Conference Finals, he wasn't going off in that against the Lakers. So it was that kind of two series with the Clippers and the Jazz where it was an explosion from Jamal. And we got, you know, oh, is this for real? But that was the first time we saw it.
And then he backed down and had an 18-point game and a 17-point game, and then he did it again or whatever. That's just who he is. And
he plays for the big moments in playoff games, but he also makes clutch decisions.
Overall, he's been a great player in these playoffs. Last night was an outlier according to the playoffs this year. Now, people are getting it mixed up with my take on Jamal. I've said this from the get-go. He is a great player on his best days. He's a superstar on his best days. He doesn't have those best days all the time. Joker has more best days than bad days. He doesn't really have bad days. Superstars typically don't. Kevin Durant had 24 points, and you consider that a bad day. He was 2 of 12 from the three-point line. But when you arrive to superstar status, you are now at a point where 24 points is considered a bad game. Joker got to that point about 4 years ago where we said, oh, he can trip over a 20-plus point game. Jamal was still in a status for the last few years, and I know he was out for two, of or one and a half, where it was a good game is still 20 points for him. But his ceiling is higher in the fact that, okay, the best he can give you is maybe a 40-50 point night. the worst he can give you is maybe a 10-point game, but he still had 8 assists, and some of those passes were critical for him. So it's a again, people are so torn. My emotions are everywhere with Jamal Murray. You know, I was in with Good Morning Yoko this morning, Angel, as you heard, and you know, Brian's like, you know, you guys ebb and flow with Jamal. I'm sorry, but that's Jamal Murray's doing. He ebbs and flows, so our views of him ebb and flow. That doesn't mean you're knocking Jamal. I'm not going to sit here and give this guy his flowers every single night just because he's Jamal Murray. Nikola Jokic has earned the flowers. Even if he has a rough night shooting or whatever, you go, yeah, that's just one of those nights. Jamal hasn't earned that. I wouldn't be shocked at all. In fact, I would recommend Friday, whatever the over is, if it's 22, 23, 24, I might be hammering that for Jamal Murray. But overall, more often than not, he has been really good in these playoffs. But yeah, in his career at this stage, he's just a guy. I believe in this guy. I'm the guy who said when he was drafted down the road a little bit that he could be better than Steph Curry. Obviously, that's not happening, but that's how much I believed in this guy. But I know what I'm seeing. I see an inconsistent player who's very, very, very good, who is a superstar in his best nights, and he's just a guy with everything in between. So, doesn't matter. You won. You won 97 to 87. It was an ugly game. Where do we want to start here? You know, obviously, Nikola Jokic was special. That's what he does. I'll admit, that was even more than I thought. Like, he flat out put this team on his back from start to finish. Start to finish, he was scoring at will.
Yeah, I mean, you saw it early on in the game where he likes to set up. He would just get the ball, go immediately to the paint, and start, you know, posting up with Ayton. The first couple times, Ayton was, you know, had good spacing, good footwork there. And then Jokic starts, okay, you're going to do that. I'm going to go completely underneath you and get around you.
If you're not going to double me, I will figure out a way to beat you. You might stop me once or twice, but now that I kind of know, okay, you're not doubling me, I can take my time down here.
It just feels like Jokic, he knows he's controlling the paint.
Yes.
Whether it's Ayton, whether whoever, you know, Badiato, whatever his name is down
Biombo.
There. Yeah. Jokic, he's like, I'm going to control this paint. I'm going to get the ball at the top of the key or even bring it up all the way to the court. And when he starts going full speed and he does a little spin or a little twist or something, that's MVP Jokic.
I had, you know, the argument, again, Suns fans or negative people, you know, Tanner and I were talking this morning, the free throw discrepancy. And I said, well, you know, the thing of it is Phoenix doesn't get to the paint as much. They, you know, DeAndre Ayton wasn't forcing the issue inside.
You're upset that the Nuggets aren't fouling enough? Like, do you want them to be, you know, hack and slash aggressors at
the
paint?
If you're shooting jump shots, it would be a bad thing. If you're getting to the free throw line,
that's all
what
the Suns
you call
do,
bad defense.
Is take jump shots.
Exactly. That's bad defense if you're sending them to the free throw line. I'd be calling timeout. Like, dude, why are you guys fouling them 10, 15 feet from the hoop? You can't they're jump shooters. They're not getting to the paint as much. The Nuggets live in the paint because their superstar does most of his work in the paint. Aaron Gordon does most of his work in the paint. That's what happens. You didn't see that with Phoenix. So this discrepancy, sure, we've seen it back and forth the other way too. But if you're not going to the paint, you're not going to get a lot of foul calls. It just doesn't happen. Let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. It's all Nuggets related today. The good, the bad, and the ugly. The good is your MVP, ladies and gentlemen. 39 points, 16 rebounds, 5 assists, and he's got an adorable little family. They do their cute little hand thing, and the idiots out there are like, he's pointing to his ring finger. No, it's an adorable song that he's doing with his little daughter.
That was such a nice little moment. Because I saw that moment, and I saw Jokic waving to the fans, and I'm like, oh, he's just waving to the fans. And then it cuts over, and you see his wife and his daughter.
And
it's
it.
Just, oh,
he's
so cute.
Pointing into his palm. She's pointing into her palm. It's amazing. I absolutely love it. The legend of Joker grows more and more every single day. The bad, I'm going to give it to Jamal Murray. He was my player of the week yesterday. He is in the bad column today. He wasn't good. He had 10 points. He had 8 assists. He still affected the game. He did. I don't think he'll ever shoot quite like that again, but it was bad. There's no way around it. He followed up the, what do I have to do to prove it to you guys, with that game. And that's what I'm saying. What do you have to do to prove it to us? String them together, man. string them together and dominate 10 games in a row. The ugly, no show in the fourth quarter, Michael Porter Jr. Can't play defense, can't create without the basketball in your hands. You're not going to play. Because the three, I mean, he took two three-pointers. It wasn't a good game by him. Michael Malone recognized that. And a lot of times I give Michael Malone crap for not playing MPJ. This made sense last night because this was going to be a game that was won nasty and ugly and dirty.
You need Michael
Porter Jr. is not that kind of guy.
You need Michael for games like game one, where it's an offensive back and forth shootout.
That's when he shines. But games like this, where I'm going to get gritty, I got to get after you, I got to go in hard, and it's going to be ugly. Nothing pretty about that basketball game. Enter Bruce Brown and Christian Brown and Uncle Jeff. Those guys are the ones they're going to get. Yeah.
Brown and Green.
I'm so impressed. Uncle Jeff, he's like, why are you talking to me at the end of the game? I had two freaking points. Joker did everything. Unk, that's why we love you, bro. That's why we love you, man.
We love when Unk gets mad and just, no, I'm throwing this ball down your throat.
That dunk was worth like 14 points. Because it sparks everybody. When this team sees Uncle Jeff go up for a tomahawk dunk like that, look out. So, ugly was MPJ, but overall, got the dub. You're up 2-0. Let's go. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. When we come back, let's talk about it. Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray. A lot of issues with, why didn't Jamal get benched? Michael Porter Jr. got benched. We'll talk about that on the other side. I'm also going to have Clayton Sikorsky, the UNC golf coach. They won the Big Sky Conference, so they're moving on to regional. So we're excited to talk to him coming up at the bottom of the hour. Mike Brohard will join me. He can't talk about this, but another big transfer at a huge position of need for Colorado State. We'll talk about that. Zach Stevens will join me. And don't look now, Angel, but the Broncos are looking very closely at an XFL player to come in and play. So we'll discuss on the other side. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This Preps baseball season, you pick the game. Hear high school baseball every week on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour, on the Rocks Liquor bringing us our game beer of the week. I'm telling you, let's get to Friday. Go to On the Rock. You can go anytime you want, I guess. It's your life, man. But get the game beer of the week. Get ready for a big game three between the Denver Nuggets and the Phoenix Suns at On the Rocks Liquor. This one's from Horse and Dragon, almost summer ale coming up. And no tastings this weekend because it's Cinco de Mayo. They're going to be very, very busy. Cinco de Mayo's on Friday. Yeah, here we go. Excited about that?
Just now remember that. Holy crap. Friday's going to be crazy.
May. It's nuts. On the Rocks Liquor will hook you up, get you ready to go for whatever you might be doing this weekend. But try out the game beer of the week. They have great selections from local breweries all over the place throughout the state of Colorado. That's On the Rocks Liquor. John and Tony, great people. Husband and wife duo that just run the show there. Our friend Dave. I mean, just great, great folks. At On the Rocks Liquor, 29 minutes after the hour. Quickly here, and we'll get back to this throughout the day today, but our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day, is Jamal Murray just a guy, or is he a semi-superstar? Is he a superstar? And again, when you think of superstar, you go Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Joker is now a superstar, Giannis, Joel Embiid, those guys. Semi-star, who's that? Is that Donovan Mitchell? Is Jimmy Butler a superstar or a semi-superstar? He might be becoming a superstar
now. He's becoming a superstar.
But there's a lot of those like, okay, yeah, they're right there on the cusp of being another big-time star. Trae Young, semi-superstar?
Yeah.
So is Jamal Murray in that category, or is he still flirting between just a guy and semi-superstar? Like, is he as reliable as Trae Young? Probably not at this stage in his career. Trae Young's got some ice water in his veins, man. He's got a killer instinct. Jamal sometimes does. Sometimes he doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more comfortable just saying that Jamal is just a star. You know, not semi-star, not superstar, whatever. He's a star player. He's a really good guy. He's, you know, 60-75% of the time, you may have a great game from him. Otherwise, we talked about it, the low, you may get 10-12 points.
Yeah.
But you're never going to not get the effort from him. You're never going to get the heart away from him. This guy likes to play.
He cares, loves these
moments. And you see it when he's missing shots. He's frustrated with himself.
Yeah, he cares. Listen, love the guy. Absolutely love the guy. And I think he's going to show out Friday. I wouldn't be shocked. 30 minutes after the hour, we're going to talk to UNC golf coach Clayton Sikorsky. All they did this weekend was win the Big Sky Conference. So we're excited to catch up with them coming up on the other side. So we'll get to that in just a moment. But first, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy here on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Congratulations to the UNC men's golf team. They won its third Big Sky Conference Championship this past week, earning an automatic berth to the NCAA Regionals. Joining us now, head coach of that great team, Clayton Sikorsky. Coach, thanks so much for giving us some time today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on, and thank you for those kind words.
Well, congratulations to you guys. Just talk to us, Coach, about what went into this, and obviously we know what's coming up next for you guys, but just let our listeners in, kind of just from start to finish, you know, where you saw this team grow throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, it was kind of a long season for us, to be honest with you. Starting the year, we had pretty high hopes. We returned everybody from the lineup the prior year with one departure, but we brought in four talented players who we thought would play for us right away and really add some depth to our program. And we just, struggled to find our footing, to be honest with you, all year. We had our ups and downs. We had multiple tournaments where we would have, one of the low rounds of the tournament, and then we'd, follow it up with one of the high rounds of the tournament. So, we knew that our good golf was very good. We just had to learn how to become a little bit more consistent. And so throughout the year, credit to the guys, they worked really hard, specifically starting in the spring. They really focused on, defining our goal of winning the Big Sky and working to get there. And, we saw steady progression throughout the spring. We had a really good tournament at Chambers Bay. Hosts a U.S. Open 2015, really great venue. We were in second place going into the final round, beating some top 50 programs like Michigan State and Oregon State. And, it was the first time we've really been in contention all year. And, we didn't perform great the last round, but I think it really prepared us well for handling that pressure at the Big Sky. I think we learned from, a poor round, which is great. And then we were able to really work for basically 2 weeks heading into the Big Sky and really get our games in shape. And credit to the guys, we played really solid all week. And honestly, the last round, we were pretty comfortable after about six holes. Was never really in doubt for the rest of the round.
Coach, talk to us about that a little bit, both with the regular season and then in the Big Sky Championships. I mean, we always talk about it. Golf is such a mental game. So when you're seeing the down portion throughout the course of the season, what are some of the tools? What are the tactics? What are you saying? And what are you doing with these guys to get them to that point mentally where they can get to the Big Sky Championships and can overcome all of the adversity?
Yeah, that's definitely the difficult part about it, because obviously we have to hold ourselves to a pretty high standard. So we obviously have to be, constructive in our criticism and let them know, like, hey, this isn't up to our standard. But at the same time, you can't tear them down, because, we have to have a confident team going to the Big Sky. And, it was kind of a mixture of, hey, guys, like, this isn't good enough, but we still believe in you. We know that we have the talent in here to compete at a very high level. And so I think you just got to mix in, being hard on them, but then also at the same time supporting them and really telling them how much we think of them as individuals and players. And, you know, I think we're really well tested going into the Big Sky. But, you know, the great thing about college golf and, you know, being in the Big Sky is you get an automatic qualifier if you win that to the regionals. And, you know, as much as we would like to be, you know, competing week in and week out, be a top 100 program, you know, I think the first step for us was to win that Big Sky. You know, we fell short by one shot last year, and we really had a, you know, a goal in mind to not have that same feeling again this year. And credit to the guys for performing so well.
Well, one of those guys, and obviously you have a plethora of excellent golfers, but a guy that, you know, I've watched you talk about this team and this guy specifically. I know you get a little emotional talking about him, but the graduate student, Lakewood native, local guy, Jack Castiglia. Talk to us about him and what he was able to do and help and lead this group.
Yeah, you know, I was super fortunate to inherit the roster I had, and then specifically, you know, guys like Jack and TJ who have really helped this year. But Jack specifically, credit to Coach Prenzlo prior to me bringing him in, but he's going to end up being the best player in our program history as far as, you know, longevity of career. He's going to be a five-time All-Big Sky performer, I think three-time first team, and then also the player of the year this year. But he's, you know, he's the epitome of what a Bear is. You know, he's just, he's a fighter, he's tough, but he's been just amazing to have and really helped me transition here for my 2 years. You know, he embraced me right away as a coach, and, you know, he's been a great leader for us. And, you know, having a guy like Jack is just, you know, that's what makes coaching fun. But, you know, I'm really happy for him, playing so well coming down the stretch, you know, obviously winning player of the year and then performing the way that he wanted to at the Big Sky. You know, obviously in his mind, he's going to want to win, but finishing second, you know, really helped our team. He's just been an amazing kid to have, and, you know, excited to go to battle with him at least one more time. And, you know, he's got a bright future, and I hope he continues playing at the professional ranks post-graduation.
We're talking to UNC golf head coach Clayton Sikorski. As the Bears won their third Big Sky Conference championship, up next, they'll be they earned an automatic berth to the NCAA regionals, so we'll be talking about that more coming up. We're going to get that announcement, I believe, tomorrow as far as the fields go and everything. But again, just talking about the team, you talk a lot about Jack, but at the tournament, I mean, you guys had a Bear play second, third, and fourth, so, I mean, everybody was really picking up their game.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, TJ, he's, you know, got one more year of eligibility for us using his COVID year next year, but he, you know, he was phenomenal for us in the spring. He really transformed basically all aspects of his life, to be honest with you. Like, he really focused on his academics. He transformed his body. The physical transformation from the fall to spring is it's honestly unbelievable. And with that came a lot of consistency in his golf game. And he was great for us. He had, you know, our last event in Chambers Bay. He had a top 10. He was competing, you know, for us. He was in the top three going into the final round. But really gave us a lot of consistency throughout the spring, which we didn't really have in the fall. So credit to him for working so hard. And then a guy like Yuzi Zhang, as much talent as anybody in the country, to be honest with you. Just got to get him more consistent, but he really performed well for us at the Big Sky. You know, the kid's got a lot of great results in his career at the junior ranks and at some top amateur events. So finally great to see him put it together for us at the Big Sky. But yeah, it was really a team effort. And then, you know, we've had three freshmen playing in our lineup all year, which probably led to our inconsistency. You know, it's a tough transition from the high school level to the college level. And we believe in them. They have a lot of talent. And, you know, two of our other freshmen, Gage Messingham and Alessio Batista, both performed really well for us at the Big Sky as well, specifically the last two rounds. And, you know, gave us a lot of – it took a lot of pressure off those top three guys just because we knew we had, you know, good golf from those two going into those final rounds.
Talk about that transition, too. I love what you said. You know, that transition is so difficult. We hear it in college sports all the time, from high school to golf. I can't imagine, Coach. I mean, the pressure from what you're dealing with on a daily basis at high school compared to what we're doing at the D1 ranks here, that is something, again, that's part of what makes you a great coach is, yes, you're really coaching the, so to speak, the X's and O's of everything, but the mental aspect of making that transition.
yeah, it's a big difference in all aspects of life. You know, you're kind of fending for yourself now, and a lot of the times, you know, high school kids, they got their parents, you know, helping them out, or their high school coaches. You know, there's just a lot more support, and it's not as taxing week in and week out. You know, you now have to balance a pretty rigorous academic calendar. You obviously have to balance life outside of both academics and athletics. And some players come in and it clicks right away, and some it may take a year, 2 years, 3 years. It really is a big difference. And credit to our, you know, three freshmen, you know, they handled their business in the classroom and really started to see some improvement on as far as the golf course goes as well. But you know, our three freshmen that we brought in, you know, if you look at their resume, very talented guys. You know, Uzi finished second in the Western Junior, which is one of the biggest junior events in the world. Alessio Batista was a top-ranked player in Europe for multiple years. And then Gage ended up being the second-ranked player in the state. And so we knew the talent was there. And, you know, I believe those guys have a really, really bright future. But, yeah, the transition is a lot harder than people probably naturally think, you know. From the outside looking in, you see the players' resumes, and you're thinking in your head, all right, these guys will take the college golf right away. And that's not always what happens. But, you know, as a coach, that's where you have to really step in and help them get over that. Or through the process, you know, playing for a team is a lot different, too. A lot of these guys, especially the Europeans, they're not necessarily, or the internationals, you know, they didn't really have high school golf. So they're not used to, you know, grinding through every shot and realizing the importance of everything throughout, you know, a tournament.
Well, how rewarding is it? Not necessarily rewarding, but how big of a thing is it going to be going into the next season, too, with all of these freshmen? As you said, ups and downs, the transition, there's inconsistencies there. But going through this, winning the Big Sky Conference Championship, getting an opportunity to play to golf at regionals, I mean, that experience is going to be so huge that by the time you start next season, you got to think, man, things might start coming, feeling a little bit more natural to these guys.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, those three freshmen are going to have great summers. And then our other returners, you know, TJ, he's going to have a great summer. You know, he's going to be focused on playing some big-time events. And then, you know, Blake Danny, who's been, you know, part of our team, played throughout the year, he's going to be returning for his super senior year with the COVID eligibility. And then we'll add two more incoming kids. So yeah, I feel really, really great about where the program is headed. Obviously replacing Jack is going to be tough from, you know, multiple different angles, you know, as far as his performance on the golf course, but also as a leader and just an overall human within the program. He's just an awesome kid. So, but you know, I think he's really left an imprint on the program and really, you know, showing the guys around them what it takes to be successful and to win. So thankful for him. And yeah, I'm really excited to finish out regionals and see what we can do there. And then transitioning into the summer and next fall.
Coach, but it just seems like big things are going on with UNC Athletics. I mean, every time we turn around, something big is being achieved by one of these teams. How important is that to you to say, hey, yeah, we're seeing all this big stuff. We are one of the main contributors here, seeing what's happening at the University of Northern Colorado.
Yeah, it's you know, it's always great to bring back a trophy here to Greeley. And yeah, there are a lot of great coaches and programs here, you know. Coach Troy Nickerson with wrestling had just an amazing year. So he's been an inspiration to look to and seeing what's possible here at UNC. Obviously, our women's volleyball program has had tremendous success over the years. And you know, Coach Lynch's been awesome. And it's just overall pretty close, tight-knit atmosphere here at UNC. You know, obviously, coaches support each other. I know softball has really turned around this year, which is great. You know, baseball is going through transition, football as well. And then, you know, my office is right across the way from Coach Smiley in men's basketball. And, you know, we're always talking and chatting it up and just trying to support our program. So there's definitely a lot of great coaches here at UNC, and I think the future is bright overall.
Well, Coach, a little birdie tells me that maybe Coach Smiley could use some lessons, too, at some point. Is that true?
Yes, I think those are in the works. He's up on this morning, so I think you know, once regionals calms down and his recruiting period calms down, I think I'm gonna you know, see what I can work with there. That might be my biggest challenge as a coach.
Well, I'd love to see that. That would be fun. I might try to listen in and get some tips myself, to be real honest with you, Coach. Well, congratulations to you, my friend. We'll be paying attention, of course, tomorrow to see when the fields for regionals will be announced. That will be on the Golf Channel, so we're looking forward to that.
Absolutely, and then one thing I can say is, you know, we're having a watch party at the Goat Sports Bar at starts at 11. People are going to get there around 10:45. So anybody local in the area wants to come out and support the Bears, we'd love to have you.
I love it. And we'll be sure to mention that tomorrow morning as we start the program as well. Coach, congratulations. Great to get you on the program. I know this is the first time getting you on. Let's make this a thing, Coach. Would love to talk to you again.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. And, yeah, really enjoyed it. And let's do this again.
All right. Sounds great. There he is, Clayton Sikorski, UNC men's golf head coach, as they just won their third Big Sky Conference championship, man. I mean, great things are going on at the University of Northern Colorado. Who would have thought, man? It's just every single week, it seems like we're talking about something big, something exciting going on. We're pumped about the spring game with Ed Lamb. Steve Smiley, to me, is a constant. What's happening with this volleyball program, always there. We saw what happened with Troy Nickerson. Can we keep him? As UNC Wrestling did their thing this year. So congratulations to that school, to this college. I mean, I went there. You went there. Tanner went there. We all went to UNC. We absolutely love what's happening there. They could teach us golf, too, Angel.
Yeah, that would
coach
be...
Coach might be our secret weapon.
That'd be extremely helpful, Coach, if you could help us out. Just a few tips, you know, club stance.
Yeah.
Just how to swing.
How to hit it.
How's a backswing look.
Yep. How to do it. What? Which club to use.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I struggle with. It's,
you know, just where to golf.
Yeah.
What is golf?
What is a green? There's different shades of green. Which one am I aiming for?
We need a lot of help. Like, golf for beginners, man. Seriously, he's going to have to dumb it down a lot for us. But I would be curious to see him work with Steve Smiley. Because I just assume Smiley's a natural athlete, and he's good at golf.
I'm sure he's a great golfer.
But no, they're telling me he's not. That's what I heard. Sources. I have sources.
No, if you're coach and you're that tall,
I'm just telling you
can hit a golf ball.
I'm telling you. I don't believe it. I think if I go watch him golf, he'd tear it up. But I have sources, deep sources, that have been investigating this story for years. And they tell me that, no, he's not very good. And that's sad to me, because Smiley, I just feel like he's one of those guys that could do everything. Like, he's annoyingly good at everything. Well, congratulations.
But how bad is bad for Smiley?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's probably
it's bad. I just, you know, hit 450 down the green.
He's not beating Jack Castiglia or anything.
No.
They're like, that's bad. I'm like, yeah, but I bet he's probably pretty good still. 11:50 the time. By the way, it's Top Text Tuesday. I'm looking for just smoking hot texts. Let's get this thing rocking and rolling today. Nuggets are up 2-0. Let's pack a punch here on this Tuesday. Best text of the day gets a $15 gift certificate to Cable's Pub and Grill, and they've always got something going on. Yesterday was all-you-can-eat spaghetti. Boom, just like that on a Tuesday, burger madness for under $10. 11:51 the time. We'll take a short break here. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy, on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Catch KFKA's own Jerry Schimmel back on the call for the Colorado Rockies, on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Of course, kind of the big story of the day, the Denver Nuggets go up 2-0, so we'll be talking more about that in the second hour of the program. Also, some big news coming out of Colorado State. Got a big-time transfer. Pretty big-time transfer. Kobe Johnson. He led North Dakota State in rushing last season. He had more than 2,500 yards on the ground in his career. Now he is joining Colorado State. That is an exciting... That's what they needed. They needed a running back. With the Avery Morrow situation and just wanting to add more depth there anyway, this guy could be a big-time playmaker for CSU. Unfortunately, I can't talk to Mike about it coming up because he works for CSU, and you know, it's not official yet, but it's official. It's happening. So, but we will have fun with Mike. We'll talk about, you know, guys that are signing on with teams in the NFL, you know, and maybe how some of these guys can make that transition, make some noise. Coming up in the 12 o'clock hour. Also, Zach Stevens will join me in the 1 o'clock hour, get his thoughts on all things Denver Broncos, his grade for them when it came to the draft, trading for a tight end, the Paytons, that dynamic, how that one's all going to take shape throughout the rest of this offseason and leading into next season. So a lot of great stuff coming up down the wire here. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.